It's Parshas Emor this week. And it's also Sfirsa Omer and Lag BaOmer. So it's a great opportunity where what's happening in the calendar and what is happening in the Parshas HaShavua intersect. So what I'm going to do with the half hour we have available is we're going to split the shiur into two different topics. We're going to focus on the transitions that we have in the Parsha of the Moedim, Parsha Semor. Ask everyone if possible if you could mute, because definitely hearing some noise in the background. Sort of do that would be great. And the first half of the shiur, we're going to focus on the transition from Pesach to Shavuos. We're going to focus on something that's surprising in the Psukim over there and try to draw out a very interesting idea. And the second half of this year, we'll focus on how the Torah captures the transition from Yom Kippur to Sukkot. The transition from Pesach to Shavuos, so take a look when we read the Parsha this week, and the whole Parsha in Parshas Emor, Psukim Tes, through Chaf Beis, that describes the Moedim. So the focus is actually not on anything about Shavuos per se. The entire text of the Psukim there is about the Karbanos, which are brought. First, about the Karban of the Omer that's brought on the second day of Pesach. And then we're told about the Karban of the Shtei Halachem, which is brought on Shavuos. That's the focus of the Psukim over there. It's in that context that we're also told about the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer. But there's something very odd and very surprising about these.
You froze
about these two. It's at the end. I actually think we all. Uv kutzrechem es ketzir we're told. When you are doing the harvest of your land, lo sechale pa'asadcha b'kutzrecha, do not harvest the corner of the field. That's the mitzvah of peya, to leave the corner of the field for the poor. Kitzrecha lo selakeit, do not pick up the loose sheaves that fell onto the ground. Anivla ger tazavach samani Hashem lokeichem. Leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am Hashem. Good. Very important mitzvah. The mitzvah of leket, shikha, peya, tzedakah, giving to the poor. All is wonderful. The question is, what is this pasuk doing here in the parsha of the Moedim of the Yomim Tovim in Parshas Emor? It doesn't belong. We have Shabbos, Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah. This is the laning, right? Every yontif we go through this parsha. It's a nice mitzvah. It doesn't belong. What's it doing here? It's totally out of the blue. It's like tacked on at the very end of the whole little parsha over here. It doesn't seem to, you know, I guess maybe there's like a bit of a thematic connection because we're talking about the grain that's brought, but why is this here? That's a big problem. There's a second problem, which is that not only does the pasuk about leket, shikha, and peya not seem to fit in the parsha of the Moedim in Parshas Emor, but the exact same pasuk appeared last week. Parshas Kedoshim it's a doubling. Literally, the exact same pasuk appears in Parshas Kedoshim. We're told over there, Ketzuchem, Ketzir, Tzuchem, Lo Sechale Pa'asat Chalikzor, leave the Peya, leave the Leket. So we know this already. It doesn't belong here, A. We want to know about Matzah, Sukkah, Lulav, Shofar. That's the mitzvahs that are supposed to be in this Perek in Emor. And even worse, we already know about this because we learned about it. It was the exact same pasuk appeared last. So, I'll survey a couple of answers in the Rishonim, and then I'll suggest one and show that actually some other Mepharshim had it. I think it's a very, very interesting idea. Ibn Ezra takes on the question of what is this doing here in the parsha of the Moedim, and he gives a technical answer. Ibn Ezra says, once you're harvesting the grain, and that's what's being described in these psukim, the harvesting of the barley, that's the carbon of Omer for Pesach, the harvesting of the wheat, that's the carbon of the Shtei Halachem for Shavuos. So the Ibn Ezra says, once we're talking about karbanos that have to do with harvesting, we're reminding you to do the other mitzvos which are relevant to this time period. So you're harvesting grain for the carbanos. You should also remember, we'll just stick in a reminder over here that you should do the, you know, observe the mitzvah, so lakat shikha and peah, the other harvest-related mitzvahs. Doesn't actually have anything to do with the chagim per se, and I guess it was important enough to remind us that we had to say it twice, even though the general ironclad rule of psukim is that the Torah does not repeat things unnecessarily. But that's the Ibn Ezra's proposal. The Ramban, as the Ramban very often likes to do, quotes the Ibn Ezra, and then says, I don't think the Ibn Ezra's, this wasn't his best, it wasn't having his best day. Ramban thinks that often the Ibn Ezra was not having his best day, but he wasn't having his best day today. And he says, I'm going to tell you what's going on in the Pesukim. It's an interesting answer. I wonder what you think. It doesn't really seem either to really get to the heart of what's going on in the Pesukim. But here's the Ramban's answer. Ramban says, what is happening here, the reason why we have to talk about Lekat Shecha and Peya is relevant to something else that is appropriate to this time of year. April 15th was a couple of weeks ago, but still the month of April, tax season. We're still in the greater tax season. The Ramban says, we need this pasuk here because it's related to tax season. How so? Well, Pesukim are talking about harvesting grain for the karbanos, for the shtei halachem and the karban haomer. So writes the Ramban, you might think that this is an excellent opportunity to get a free tax deduction. I will harvest the grain for the karban haomer and the shtei halachem. Which grain will I use? I'll use the grain which should have been part of the peah, part of my field. I'll use the grain of the leket or the shikha. And I'll say, look, this was the part of my income that was designated to doing mitzvos generally. So, okay, instead of it going to the poor, this part of it will go to the Beis HaMikdash for the karban of the shtei halachem or the karban of. The Ramban says, you can't do that. You have to bring the karban from the grain which would go to you personally, not the grain that would go to the poor. That has to be set aside in a separate bucket. And that's why this has to be mentioned. Interesting idea. It's also very difficult because how much grain was used for the karban haomer? Now, it was one single karban that was brought by all of Klal Yisrael. So it's not like a massive tax deduction. We're talking about the one guy in his one field who's bringing the grain. It's not a mitzvah that's relevant to everyone else. It's not the same as Karban Pesach, where every family has to bring their own sheep. But that's the Ramban's suggestion. Neither one. Right? Yeah, interesting things to think about, but we're still definitely left with some dilemmas. So we'll take a look at a couple of other approaches, which I think are really interesting, and then we'll move to Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Rashi points out something very interesting. His idea really does not tell us about Shavuos per se. Rashi makes a point about the Moed in general. Rashi quotes some Medrash from Chazal, says that this pasuk, it's pasuk Chaf Beis. Now there are 44 psukim in Parshat. So I'm not a math major, but you take 44 psukim, pasuk Chaf Beis. That's the 50-yard line, right? That is exactly at the halfway point of the Parsha of the Moedim. It is exactly in the middle, the 22nd out of the 44 psukim, where the Torah tells us about the mitzvos of Lekat Shikha Peah, giving to the poor. So Rashi quotes Medrash, which makes this point, and the Medrash expands, and it says, the idea here is, anyone who gives tzedakah, it is as if they have fulfilled all of the mitzvos of the karbanos that are being described in this whole parsha. Correspondingly, anyone who, in a time where Yerushalayim is up and standing and the Beis HaMikdash is running, and they fail to bring tzedakah, so their karbanos are discounted. In other words, the reason why this pasuk is here is to tell us, is to remind us that even as we have such a focus on the karbanos and the Beis HaMikdash and Aliyah LeRegel, going to Yerushalayim on Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot and bringing what we have to bring, let's not lose sight of what the Nevi'im always remind us, which is, you also have to have your eye on the ball of the world of Bein Adam LeChaveiro. And we could add to this, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Shvisas Yantif, he says, someone who nowadays has a Yom Tov. So the Rambam says nowadays we're obviously not bringing Karbanos, but the Rambam is of the opinion that the mitzvah of rejoicing is still active nowadays. He says we can't bring a Karban Shlamim in the Mikdash, but we fulfill the mitzvah with meat and wine and clothing and jewelry and candy for the kids. We want to have a good time on Yom Tov. It's a mitzvah Mida Oraisa. But the Rambam says that someone who observes the Chagim and rejoices and celebrates without also taking the opportunity to look around and see who doesn't have and giving to the poor and giving tzedakah, so writes the Rambam, that is not a joy of a mitzvah, that is the joy of his gut. Ein zeh simchas mitzvah, la simchas kreso. So this comment of Rashi explaining why this pasuk of tzedakah here is getting at that same point. Literally, we could think of the Chagim as an archway, right? From, you know, Pesach at the beginning of the year, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. What is the key? What's the keystone of the arch, though? What is the perspective that's holding everything together? Is this mitzvah smack in the middle of the whole thing about giving tzedakah, lekat shechapeya, and supporting the poor? If you're doing that, if you got that down, then that opens up the opportunity to properly observe all the other mitzvahs. That is the perspective that that Rashi brings to the table. And it's amazing. There you go, right? You have a vart ready, emergency dvar Torah ready for any yontif meal, right? You can use that for Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, hopefully not having a meal on Yom Kippur, the one before Yom Kippur, not much time for Divrei Torah. But Rashi takes a general Chagim perspective, and he says that's why this repeated, seemingly unrelated pasuk is here in the Parsha of the Moed and Parsha Sam. One possibility. I think there's a second possibility as well, related, but a little more relevant to our time frame in particular. Because we can ask, at the end of the day, why is the mitzvah of Leket, Shecha, and Peya being highlighted specifically in the segment which is talking about the period of the Omer? It's particularly the period of Sfiras HaOmer and the Karban HaOmer and the Shtei HaLachem and the transition from Pesach to Shavuos, where we have this mitzvah of Leket, Shecha, and Peya. And you're right, it's at the 50-yard line. But is it possible, maybe even likely, that it's also giving us a specific lesson about the time frame that we're in? So I thought the answer was yes. And then I was very happy because I looked through some of the Mefarshim, and I'll show you in a minute how I did it. And sure enough, they're all Bog, and David C. Hoffman, and a little bit of the Malvim, have this idea as well. Anyone who's not familiar, I'll show you a really cool thing you can do. This website now, it's a website called A La Torah that they've come out with. One second. You just go here, alatorah.org. And I can, online, I can get a Makros Gedolos, choose a text. I can go to Vayikra, Perek, Chaf Gimel, I think we're in. I'm going to scroll over to Pasuk Chaf Beis. Here's our key Pasuk. And then Hatzeg Mefarshim Nosafim. Look for extra Mefarshim. And look at that. I've got like 30 Mefarshim on my computer that I can look at without having to get out of my chair. So that's what I did preparing this year. And I saw the Ralbag over here, which I don't have Ralbag Al HaTorah at home. So this is great. Most of these at home. And most of you don't either. And Rav David C. Hoffman, I don't have that at home. So you click on them. And sure enough, it pops in right here. And here's him right here. Okay, you can read. It's 12:45, so I'm not going to read them inside. I'll just tell you what they said outside. This is where I found it. And the perspective that they give is basically the following. The whole time period that we're in right now, the theme is gratitude. Going back to Pesach, everything was about gratitude. Dayenu, the Haggadah, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, gratitude for leaving Egypt, gratitude for getting the Torah, and gratitude for coming into the land of Eretz Yisrael and the agricultural piece, which we didn't really have so much back in Sefer Shmos because we were in the desert, but now Sefer Vayikra fills that in for us as well. We're also grateful for the land and the produce, which is growing during this period of time. So it is, generally speaking, from Pesach to Shavuos is the period of gratitude for our freedom, for our Torah, and for our Parnassa as the grain is coming out of the ground. And we, after a long winter of davening that the crops would grow in, sure enough, it's the harvest season, and we're just overflowing with Hadah as we harvest our crops. That is what these Karbanos are all about. We take the first of the barley, the first of the wheat, and to show how thankful we are and how we recognize that we only have this thanks to Hashem's goodness, right? We take the first of our of the grain and we bring it to the Beis HaMikdash as a karban. And on Shavuos, that's also where we begin bringing our bikurim, our personal first fruits. So it's a time of thanks. It's a time of recognizing that the food we're harvesting is coming thanks to Ribono Shel Olam, the Karban HaOmer, the Shtei HaLechem, our personal bikurim, and that's wonderful. But here is the question. Are we truly grateful? Are we truly recognizing that the grain that's growing in is coming thanks to the goodness of Ribono Shel Olam? Or are we having a kochi v'otzem yadi moment? Are we saying it's because of my prowess as a farmer and I use the right fertilizer and I use the right mix of seeds and water the right way and plowed and I don't really give Hashem any credit at all? And by rote, we bring the same karbanos because we bring them every year. Year in, year out, we bring a bikur, we bring a shtei alecha, and we bring a karban omer. But has the message of gratitude and recognition actually penetrated? What is the litmus test for that? How can we tell if we've actually recognized that that what we are enjoying now as we harvest is thanks to Ribono Shel Olam and not thanks to just our own activity? If besides bringing karbanos, we also make sure to look around at those who don't have and give to them as well. If we're not looking out for those who are poor, if we're not giving tzedakah to those who do not merit to harvest, then that throws a flag on the play. I'm not sure we're actually being grateful to Hashem for what he's given us. We're just going through the motions and bringing the karbanos, but really, really, we think that all the grain belongs to us. If you realize the grain does not belong to you, and it's what Hashem has given you, that is not going to hold us back from leaving some of the harvest for the poor. The Rabbah develops an idea like this. Rav David Tzvi Hoffman has a very nice perspective. He points out that when we talk about the mitzvahs of the karban haomer and the shtei halachem, so the focus there is on the beginning, right? The first harvest, the ribbon cutting ceremony, the very first grain that's harvested, we run to the Beis HaMikdash and bring it as a karban. Points out David Tzvi Hoffman, there's a bookend to this. If the first harvest goes to the Mizbeach, to the Beis HaMikdash, the end of the harvest, the stuff we left behind, the corner of the field, the grain and the sheaves and the bundles that fell that were left in the field, that we then reserve for the poor. So it's these two which are working together. We show gratitude at the beginning of the harvest process by running to the Beis HaMikdash. We show gratitude at the end of the harvest process by making sure that we're leaving part of the field for the aniyim. That is what's going on here specifically for Pesach and Shavuos, the season of gratitude. And if we're really feeling grateful, then we're also making sure to give to those who do not have. So that's more to say, but that's the one, the Pesach Shavuos part of this year. Rashi's perspective that this Pasuk is here, it's being repeated and it's being put in the Parsha of the Moedim to give us perspective on the Chagim generally, the success of Ben Adam Lamakom, the success of Aliyah L'Regel and Karbanos depends on having at the center of the archway, making sure we have the focus on those in need at the core. And then the Ralbag of David Tzvi Hoffman adding to that, that specifically for this time period of Pesach and Shavuos, which is all about gratitude, that has to be a time where we make sure that we're not just going through the motions, we're also helping those around us. Okay. The last 8 minutes, share a thought about a little bit later on in the Parsha of the Moedim, the transition from Yom Kippur to Sukkot. This is an idea that my Rabbi, Rabbi Rosenzweig from YU has developed at length. I think it's being written up now more at length. It was appeared in a short article before in Shiurim. It's a very, very important perspective. Normally we think of Yom Kippur and Sukkot as opposites. One is 1 day long, one is 8 days long. One is about fear and being in shul. One is about joy and relaxation and being outside, culminating in the wild celebrations of Simchas Torah. But he points out that if you look carefully at the pasuk, may I just share a screen again for a second, just to show some of these, color them, so you could see. The pasukim here in Emor link Yom Kippur and Sukkot in a number of different ways. of all the Moadim, they are the only ones which are introduced with this word Ach. However, on the 10th of Tishrei, however, on the 15th of Tishrei, both of them, there's an emphasis on the fact that you were observing this holiday before Hashem your God, Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. That phrase doesn't appear next to Pesach or Shavuos or Rosh Hashanah. Only Yom Kippur and Sukkot have the description of being Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem, before Hashem. And these are the only two of the Chagim here where the Torah tells us the reason for the Chag. The Torah does not say here, it says in plenty of other places, but it does not say here that you are observing Pesach because Hashem took you out of Egypt. It does not say you're observing Shavuos because Hashem gave us the Torah. It only says for Yom Kippur, this holiday is because it's a day where Hashem is giving you a shot at atonement. And on Sukkot, it says you're celebrating this because Hashem placed us in booths when he took us out of Israel, right? In fact, generally speaking, these are the only two Chagim which are treated more at length. Shavuos, Pesach, and Rosh Hashanah are discussed in a very, very, very concise fashion in the Pesukim. All of a sudden, Yom Kippur and Sukkot, the Torah blows its way out for a few Pesukim to talk about these at length. So a number of different ways in which, despite the fact that they seem like opposites, the Torah is linking Yom Kippur with Sukkot. Why is that the case? So he argues that it's because we need to realize that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot, even though one represents yira, fear, awe, trepidation, and Sukkot represents joy, simcha, those aren't opposites. And those need to be two sides of the same coin for the complete Eved Hashem. Those both have to be part of our experience. We have to find a way to bring them together. And he shows how actually it's amazing how Yom Kippur and Sukkot do that. For example, at this like that, this is the coolest example of it all. May recall, we do not say Tachanun from Yom Kippur all the way through, right? You clear Yom Kippur and it's like a mini Nissan, right? There's no Tachanun as soon as we come out of Yom Kippur. Why? So the Aruch HaShulchan writes, there's no Tachanun because immediately following Yom Kippur, we have entered into a period of simcha. The joy of Sukkot leaks into the days beforehand. We're forgiven on the 10th, and immediately the period of joy begins. In fact, Rosenstein quotes the commentary that Surah Hamor, who says, very interesting, why do we go outside? Why is that the period where we go outside into the sukkah? So Surah Hamor suggests because we want to emphasize that we're not afraid. After the intense fear and awe of Yom Kippur, says the Tzor Hamor, so we go to the open. It's like Leil Shimurim, like Pesach night. We feel secure. We feel safe. Feel protected. Hashem's got our back. We're relaxed. Go out into the sukkah. That's the perspective that Tzor Hamor gives on sukkah. It follows on the heels of Yom Kippur. But not only that, but this time period of post Yom Kippur, where already the simcha is beginning. Well, at the same time, let's remember, the Torah says, how does the Torah introduce the period of Yom Kippur to us? It's here in Parsha Temor as well. It doesn't only say the 10th of Tishrei. It's Me'erev ad Erev. Yom Kippur itself expands beyond the 10th. We're supposed to add Yom Kippur. We're supposed to begin observing Yom Kippur on the 9th itself. We start Yom Kippur early. And we're supposed to expand Yom Kippur after technically the end of the 10th. We're supposed to keep Yom Kippur going a little bit past the technical end of the calendar date of the 10th of Tishrei. So even this time period of between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, it's trying to blend these two themes. Yom Kippur and Sukkot, the holidays of Yira and Simcha, are right next to each other because we have to figure out how to have those two. The time period itself, there's no Tachanun, but also we're expanding Yom Kippur, is blending them together. And the Ramban, the Shulchan Aruch, does something very strange. The last halacha in Hilchos Yom Kippurim, the Ramban comments the Shulchan Aruch, and he says, last thing you know about Yom Kippur is when you go home that night, build a sukkah. You turn the page, beginning of Hilchos Sukkot, the Ramban tells you first halacha in Hilchos Sukkot, the Ramban tells you, first thing you need to know is right after Yom Kippur, build your sukkah. Why on earth does the Ramah literally in back-to-back halachos have to tell you at the end of Hilchos Yom Kippur and the beginning of Hilchos Sukkah to build your sukkah on Motzi Yom Kippur? So Rosenzweig argues it's because of this same idea. We are building sukkah, we build a sukkah as soon as we come home from shul, both from a Yom Kippur perspective and from a sukkah perspective. We want to bring these two chagim even closer together. Yom Kippur wants us to come out of shul and build the sukkah. And Sukkot wants us to have Yom Kippur in mind as we begin building the sukkah. And the paradigm for all of this is Avram Avinu, such a key figure for Yom Naram generally, who on the one hand, the Chumash describes at the Akedah as Ata Yadati, Ki Yarei Elokim Ata. Hashem says at the Akedah, now I know you fear God, the Yira, the awe of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. At the same time, the Navi Yeshaya describes Avraham as Avraham Ohavi, Avraham as the ultimate personality of Avas Hashem. Yira and Ava are not antithetical to each other. The same person, Avram Avinu, is able to capture and experience both. And that is what we are supposed to do, the balanced perspective that we try to capture with putting Rosh, with putting Yom Kippur and Sukkot next to each other. As the Gemara says, quoting Pasuk in Tehillim, B'makom Gila, Sham Tehei Ra'ada, the place of joy and the place of trembling are the same place. Imagine the Beis HaMikdash, the last closing thought. Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur, as everyone was there to watch the Kohen Gadol. And then 5 days later, everyone pours back to the exact same place, the Beis HaMikdash, but this time to watch the rejoicing of the Simchas Beis HaShavuot. So it's all come back to this transition where we're not, you know, we're not purely into fear and asceticism. On the other hand, we're not about just wild, thoughtless joy and celebration. It's a balanced perspective. We're supposed to have Yiras Hashem, Avas Hashem, bringing them together. And that is the overall theme of Tishrei. So just to close and conclude, the first half of the Chagim, Pesach and Shavuos, the major theme there, thinking of Hodah, Yitzias Mitzrayim, thanks for the Torah, and thanks for the Eretz Yisrael that Hashem has given us. And then the second half of the Moadim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, we're focusing on the themes of Avodah, Avodah Hashem. And there it's all about transitioning and the balancing of Ava and Yira.